Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to.
Happy.
Here's John Williams.
Holidays. Hey, it's John. We're in the Allstate Skyline studio. We appreciate you joining us. You'll hear this show until 3. I hope you stay with us till 3. Then Ro and Anna come on with their whole crew. We're on Saturdays from 10 a.m. until 12 noon, too. It's the John Williams Show. Like me on Facebook, Twitter, and Insta.
Whenever I get gloomy with the state of the world, I think about the arrivals gate at Heathrow Airport. General opinion's starting to make out that we live in a world of hatred and greed. But I don't see that. Seems to me that love is everywhere. Often it's not particularly dignified or newsworthy, but it's always there. Fathers and sons, mothers and daughters, husbands and wives, boyfriends, girlfriends, old friends. When the planes hit the Twin Towers, as far as I know, none of the phone calls from the people on board were messages of hate or revenge. They were all messages of love. If you look for it, I've got a sneaky feeling you'll find that love actually is all around.
Maybe we should start the show today and tomorrow and the next day and through the holidays with just some quick clip like that, some message of positivity or love or accomplishment, because, you know, there's plenty of that other stuff out there. And Brenda and I were watching that movie yesterday, and, you know, we like that movie. I know there's a huge controversy swirling in the world of movie fans and Christmas movie fans about whether or not that's a great movie or a really terrible movie. And frankly, aware of that as I am now, I find myself nitpicking it and liking it less as I watch it more. But now I digress. That's the opening scene, of course, the very opening scene where they show true images of people greeting each other at the airport during the holidays. And it's just positively lovely. Thank you, Hugh Grant. Enjoyed the movie. Just a little bit less than I used to. Now I have in my head people going, well, there's this scene or that storyline. And I love that movie. But now I'm loving it a little bit less than I used to. I hate that that's happening to me.
I was just shocked when I first saw it. I'm like, this is it?
Oh, really? So you'd heard about it, then you watched it, and you went, that wasn't all that in a bag of chips.
Well, no, I liked it, but I thought it would be more about love.
Oh, I see. Yeah, well, love actually has a bunch of storylines, and one I think is positively preposterous. One is one of my favorite scenes and storylines of all time, and there's some in between. So anyway, thank you, Hugh Grant, for that. Speaking of lists, by the way, I don't know that we are, but there's a list of scenes in that movie. We're going to review, before we get done, the list of the 10 most important moments in Illinois state history. We're celebrating our bicentennial, and so they put out a list of 200 things that Illinoisans say were the most important things that have ever happened in our humble state. Do you think you can name any of them in the top five? Sure you can. And we'll also get into who should be Time's Person of the Year, only because I'm afraid they're about to get it wrong again. I do know who should be the person, thing, or entity of the year, and I'm afraid they're going to get it wrong. Manfredini's our Mr. Fix-It. You hear him all the time on WGN. He's got his own show on Saturdays. Hi, Lou. How are you?
Hi, John.
You good?
I'm great.
Where are you? Are you in the United States?
I am in the United States. I'm actually just pulling up to Villa Park East Hardware in Villa Park. It's been a busy weekend for those of us in the hardware store business.
I should have thought of you because I do often in your business, and what a great hardware store you have there. And
Thank you.
Right. As much as all of us are like, oh, crap, you guys were high-fiving, weren't you?
So you got Thanksgiving, you got Black Friday, and then you got Ice Monday.
Man.
You know, exactly. You know, it is the one thing that I have learned in all the years that we've been in these businesses is how weather-dependent these hardware stores really are. You know, it's people are like, oh, my gosh, this snow is terrible, and it's really, really good for business. And when you think about Cyber Monday and how brick-and-mortar stores are, you know, really trying to compete against all that, this is sort of a saving grace for us. So bring on the snow and ice.
You got any snow throwers left?
We do. It's early. This is what's nice about the timing of all this from a retail perspective is the fact that, you know, you kind of ramp up for all this. And so what you hope for is these snow events to happen early, because then people that are like, hey, I need a snow thrower, or I need a new shovel, and, you know, it's only November, so I should probably invest. The problem is when these things come in late February and maybe you're left with a few snow throwers, they right. say, nah, I'll just wait till next year.
You know, I was... I asked you because I had a couple of specific questions as I was attacking the snow today, and I thought, oh, man, I need Lou's opinion or information on this. For one thing, isn't it amazing to you how long it took the world to figure out that we had snow shovels wrong? They have the kind now that seem to favor your back a little more and make it easier
right.
than just, you know, stick with blade. Now they're kind of curved and all of that. Any thoughts for us on snow shovels, Lou?
Well, I mean, you know, this is an example. This kind of snow is so heavy and so wet. I mean, yesterday, Steve was just mentioning his daughter heading out on a flight. My daughter got on probably the last flight to Los Angeles last night that actually went. And as I was taking her to the airport and it was pouring rain, I was watching the temperature go down in my car. And I thought, man, if this snow comes, it is just going to be wet and heavy. And so it really is important for people not to overcompensate when it comes to shovels. I think a lot of times when people go to the store, they're like, yeah, I'm going to get this shovel. Look at how big this thing is. It's great. Well, it's great when it's a lightweight snow and you can kind of push it along. But unless you have a rear end the size of mine, there's not many people that can push those big shovels. And this is where people get hurt and have health issues, because it is so heavy and it is so wet that it's important to get a good size one and to take your time. Those ergonomic ones that you talk about, you know, something with a metal handle, perhaps an aluminum blade, are preferred for this kind of snow as opposed to the all plastic.
For those who don't know, how big is your rear end?
It's pretty big. It's about the size of a small Buick.
it's going to take a minute.
Can I ask? Let's go to Steve Bertrand in the newsroom.
You know, Lou, I had to drive through my yard this morning because I had such a big branch down in my driveway to get out.
Oh, wow.
And then we've got a huge one in the back. And so it's all these bushes, right, are bent over. Are we supposed to shake the snow off, or are we supposed to leave it?
Yeah, no, as quickly as possible. Evergreens in particular, boxwoods do not like this kind of heavy snow. And if you leave it on there, it'll kill the plant. And so in particular, because the temperature, I'm looking at my car right now, it says it's 28 degrees. I think it's going to drop down tonight as well. So really, if you can get out there and gently take that off, I absolutely would do that, because you will have some die-off if you don't.
Does spraying PAM on the blades of your snow thrower really help?
It helps the people sell PAM.
That's it, huh? I mean, because the idea is that when you have this thick, heavy snow, that keeps it from coagulating on your
here's
blade.
Here's the thing. It's a lubricant, right? And the minute you spray it, initially you're going to be like, oh, my gosh, that's amazing. But think about when you use PAM in cooking, and then after you wash you wash the pan, yeah. It comes completely off. It'll come off right away. This is too heavy, and this is actually, John, when people are thinking about snow throwers, they always have the, do I want a single stage or do I want a two stage? And the two stage ones, you know, are the bigger units. This kind of snow is the perfect example of why you would buy a two stage, even though they're not as maneuverable. The fact of the matter is, though, we don't get this kind of snow, you know, predominantly in this area. We get lighter snow that isn't this heavy. This is a complete anomaly, but it's the type of thing where a lot of broken shovels, a lot of snow throwers that are overexerted and may not be able to throw the snow because it's too heavy. And so if you're in the market to buy one that you want to get the best of both worlds, then these two stages are probably a better bet.
Yeah, well, I'm just thinking of Brenda pushing that thing around, and maybe the big ones are kind of heavy for her.
Yeah, you're a funny guy. You're really funny. Now, you mentioned something about the ice melt. And, you know, this is something that's really important. Rock salt, of course, is the cheapest thing you'll buy, but it's the most harmful for vegetation and for your driveway, your sidewalk, even a wood deck. And so when you go to, you know, the home center or the hardware store to buy the ice melt, look for blends that are calcium chloride, magnesium chloride, and don't overdo it. I mean, the mistake that I see people do is they just go crazy with this. And if you have a big pile, like you drop it, oh, it'll go away. That high concentration of a pile of it will be the thing that will damage it, even with the better ice melts. And so you want to make sure that you are using just a light coating. And then as things dry out down the line, if you see that, there's no longer any ice or snow, take a broom and broom it off, you know, as temperatures warm up a little bit. Yeah. Don't let that sit there because that will cause damage.
All right, I just wrote the word rock salt, put a slash through it because I got a new fancy wood deck out there for my friends at Bill
Cobblestone.
Cobblestone. And then the folks from Deck Tech came out and put a nice layer of paint on that or finish. I don't know what the hell they did, but it looks swell. And I don't want to get it all messed up. So no to the rock salt.
Right.
You said calcium chloride or magnesium chloride. Is there a brand that you like or a kind per se, or just one of those blends is good?
Most of it, you'll see that when you buy it, one of the brands you may see a lot of is Quick Joe. But then even, you know, not to sit here, obviously my wife and I own Ace Hardware, the Ace brand. It's a commodity item. So you'll just look at, they'll put, you know, the same stuff in an Ace bag, and what you're looking for is a blend. Now, with those blends, a lot of time there is a little bit of rock salt in there. That's okay because it's not predominantly rock salt, and it's all about temperature, right? And just use it sparingly. Don't go crazy with the stuff.
Speaking of that, Jim, you had a question for Lou. What was it, Jim? You're on WGN.
Hi, I have wooden stairs on my deck. What can I throw on there so it won't eat up the wood?
So I mentioned the calcium chloride and the magnesium chloride, which is a better product for that. There's also, if we can get ahead of these storms, there's liquid calcium chloride, which I really like. It wouldn't have been so effective with this snow because it was wet first. But if we know there's a snow event, and it seems like we do nowadays, you know, that a couple days before it's going to come, you put this in a pump sprayer and you pre-treat. John, this would be great for your wood deck, too.
Yeah.
You literally walk around with a pump sprayer and you spray a little bit on there, and then the snow won't stick to it. And then when you go to shovel it, it's so much easier to shovel because there's this thin little liquid layer over the top of it, and it's less harmful. And even for people who have pets, you know, if you send one of the dogs out on the deck, you still have to wipe their pads, but the granules don't get in between their pads,
so it's easier
to clean up their feet.
You know, what we did with our wood deck was we put Pam on it. We just went out with spray cans and did the entire deck with Pam, and then it got wet and it washed off, and I thought, well, that was a waste of Brenda's time. By the way, here's a question for Lou. This texter from 630 says, ask Lou if he's taking... The question for Lou, should you remove the downspout extenders from the house and let the water fall by the foundation or leave the extenders on? I guess they're worried they're going to get all clogged up.
Yeah, I mean, the issue there is with this heavy snow, if it's clogged up, it's just going to sit there. What I would do is, I'm never a fan of letting the water just go right next to the foundation. I would take a shovel and go dig out that area where the extender is so the water has somewhere to go.
Right.
I mean, the nice thing is we're not in a deep freeze right now, but as the temperatures drop overnight and that ice is up, that's problematic. And actually in that little area too, maybe a little bit of the ice melt product over there would be a good idea as
well.
What do
you think of throwing handfuls of that stuff up onto the roof and then letting it melt down into the irrigation system on your roof? You know what I mean?
You have a couple of options. There are these things called ice melt pucks that look like hockey pucks.
Right.
A little bit easier to throw because they're solid, and you kind of do your best Dr. J. There's also a product called a hot sock. You actually have to get up on a ladder to do that. Another trick is if you take... pantyhose, like knee-high pantyhose, you can fill that with ice melt and place that up on the roof as well.
By the way, Hot Sock was my porn name. John, last night I heard that people should carry a spare gallon of gas in their car as part of their emergency kit. Could you have Luke confirm that this is not a good idea?
Absolutely not. There should be no fuel unless what's in your fuel tank. What's important, obviously, is that your fuel tank is full under circumstances like this, because, you know, the biggest issue now with many parts of, I drove out to Palatine, and the amount of snow that was out west here was really something else, and the amount of power outages. And so the thing is that at gas stations, they're not operating because they don't have electricity.
But so having an empty container that can hold gas is good. A cleaned out one, correct? Just not filled with fuel.
Well, because
if you stranded, you need to go.
You need to walk to the gas station. I mean, at some point, any of us that have gone to the gas station and gotten a gallon of gas for our lawnmower have traveled with that in the back of our car, right, Lou?
Right, but not as a matter of fact. Right, my only concern. Remember. Under proper circumstances, I could light a match and drop it into an open container of gas. It's the fumes that ignite it, not the liquid. I mean, it sounds crazy, but if you had a gas can that you had once used gas in and then sealed it and put it in the back of the car, first of all, you'd smell it. Second of all, it's full of fumes, and that is just a recipe for disaster. If you run out of gas, you're going to go to the gas station. Hopefully you have $10, and you're going to pay for a really expensive one-gallon can, which we have for sale at the Ace. And then you're going to walk back to your car and fill it up and then leave it in your garage. Do not travel with a fuel thing in the back.
John,
unless you're in like some army vehicle with a 5-gallon jerry can that's on the back of the thing.
Right. 847, John, what is your favorite scene from Love Actually? Please share. Okay, so it's when Emma Thompson finds out that her husband was cheating on her. And
no, that's not your favorite one.
Well, I mean, I think that's such a great, touching scene. Oh. I just think that is so well done. I'm a big fan of hers.
What about Liam Neeson when he's talking to his son about the girl, and he's kind of like giving him the advice about you got to go for it? And I know the whole ridiculous storyline that you're talking about, too, that I can't believe is in that. That's what ruins that movie.
The guy goes to Wisconsin, and the women love him.
That's a fun scene. That's a fun storyline. I love that one. But by the way, as I was watching it, that movie is dating itself really fast. For instance, Liam Neeson's advice to his son, going, kiss her, just tell her you love her. It's a little forward. I mean, there are moments in that movie where I thought, wow, have we moved past this already? And I'm not a scorekeeper like that, but there are times where I know when the movie came out, those felt funny or charming. You know,
wait, we're not supposed to do that anymore?
There's a lot of stuff in there. I thought, that's just not even funny, you guys. But her acting in that, I would say my favorite scene in the movie is when he walks into the restaurant and she only speaks Portuguese and they're talking back and forth and you realize that he's learned Portuguese and she's learned English. You know the scene I'm talking about at the restaurant? I love
Colin Firth.
Colin Firth. I love that scene. Pays your money and go see that. That's worth that scene.
What about the scene where the guy has the cue card?
That's a good one.
Wait, the guy has the what?
The cue cards.
Okay.
I never liked that scene. It takes too long. It's too much work.
And that's a storyline that's starting to grate on me because I'm like, dude, I don't think you're a well person. You've been stalking this girl all this time and have never had the ability to tell her how you feel about her?
To grab her and kiss her?
Just grab her and kiss her.
Come on, Billy Bob Thornton.
What about that scene where they're using the Pam and they run it up, rub it all over their bodies? Remember
which one
that
are you
liking?
Shut up, Lou. Which one do you like, Steve?
The Hugh Grant and Billy Bob Thornton scene, or the, you know, where he tells off the president?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes. That's and that occurs pretty early in the movie, too, by the way. Hugh Grant gets his sort of comeuppance and tells Billy Bob Thornton, who I think at the time was supposed to be a Bill Clinton-like president.
Right. What about the scene where he comes and he's looking for Natalie and he's knocking on the door and the little kid says, are you going to sing Christmas carols? Oh, no, I'm not.
And then they
start singing Good King Wenceslas. And the bodyguard, the guy in the background, starts chiming in. That's a good scene.
And then the little girls just dance their full heads off. And it's just absolutely charming.
What about the gift wrapping for the mistress?
Oh, my God.
My heart is pounding every time.
I'm
like,
hurry.
Would you like some tinsel?
just a flash.
Not yet.
Right. Oh, jeez.
Thank you, Lou Manfredini. We love you. We'll listen to you on Saturday.
I'm so glad I could help you with the winter advice.
Yeah. Well, if I want to buy some of these products, where do I go? Where's your store, Lou?
We have one in Villa Park at 46 South Villa Avenue, and one in Edgebrook in Chicago at 5423 West Devon.
Go to any store you want. Go to the one nearest you. But if you go to those ones, I will tell you this. You will get amazing customer service and good Ace products.
I bought a mower this year. I was using it on Saturday.
No kidding, really.
Oh, wow.
To soak up all my leaves before the snow came, yeah.
Boy, you came just in time.
Good call.
We'll listen for you on Saturday, bud.
Thanks, guys.
My best to Mary Beth and your thousands of children. That's our Mr. Fix-It, Lou Manfredini. Thank you, Steve. Are you listening in the lane? Snow is glistening. What'd you say? The winds are 20-some miles an hour right now?
Yeah. Northwest at 15. They're gusting at 28 at Midway, 20 at the lakefront.
I was having trouble getting sleep last night. The wind was so strong by where I live, and I could hear, like, lawn furniture and grill parts and anything that anybody in my condo or I had out on our decks was just banging all around. At one point, it sounded like someone was trying to get in. I'm like, oh, I don't want to go out there and even see the carnage. Plus, I have this ping pong table out there, and it's folded up like sails, and I have a cover on it, so it's this perfect wind catch, and I keep imagining it just sailing across my deck and over the side. I didn't sleep well last night. This is nice. What are we listening to here, Producer Ella?
This is Jesse J with Winter Wonderland.
You get the Chicago Tribune today, and you should. If you do not, today would be a good day to subscribe to a newspaper. They have 11 new holiday albums from Diana Ross, John Legend, and more. We were featuring a little John Legend last week. One of them they also like is Jesse J. English pop star Jesse J of Bang Bang fame shows off her jazzy side and a very serious ability to tackle standards on her first holiday album, This Christmas Day. It's utterly charming and utterly unmemorable, says Pablo Garandi from AP in his review a bit. But what I heard there, I liked. So that's Jesse J. And then we'll listen to a little more of some of the other featured albums in that pullout section of the Tribune today a little later on. So it's Illinois' 200th birthday coming up. Woohoo! 200! Yay! And so the folks in Springfield at the State Journal Register and the Illinois Bicentennial Commission and the Presidential Library and Museum, which is just an awesome place, have asked people in the state to go online and tell us in 20 different categories what are the 10 most memorable moments. And then from those, they were able to come up with a list of the 10 most memorable moments in Illinois history. 200 years, what are the most memorable things, most important moments in state history? They call them the most unforgettable moments, chosen in online voting. You think, all right, Illinois, what have we got? And, you know, some of it's going to get lost because maybe something awesome happened 198 years ago, but there was no internet.
Right away, I would say naming of the Tully Monster as the state fossil.
Hey, listen, Tully Monsters, very important fossils. They did not make the top 10. Morning Lincoln is number one. Nobody knew Abraham Lincoln better than his fellow Illinoisans. When he was killed, the state went into mourning and then welcomed him back to rest forever in Springfield's Oak Ridge Cemetery. It's interesting, though, that what they say is the most important thing, most unforgettable moment in Illinois history is Lincoln's assassination.
Which happened in Washington, D.C.
And return to Illinois. I don't care where it happened. He's Illinois' Abraham Lincoln, so I think anything he did, like something about the Civil War, something about the Emancipation Proclamation, something about anything, we should be able to claim fame to. I mean, if it has to happen on our turf, I guess that sort of narrows it. but I don't know that it does. Okay, Steve, what's number two on the list?
Well, I have a problem with this one.
Victorious Cubs. When the Cubs finally managed to win the World Series, much of the state went wild and millions lined the parade route or gathered at Grant Park for the official celebration. Remember, that was considered one of the largest gatherings in human history.
Based on, it looks like 5 million people.
Still, that was pretty big.
Well, if you'd go from that angle, then,
has a little
it's
more
a sports
pow.
Team and the history of the state, and they've won several world championships. You know, it's not like it's the only one.
It took so long. So, I mean, it's a longer history than just that series.
And when they won it the previous time, it wasn't like it is now. Okay, but to your point, Steve, number three, because you're thinking, okay, that was a big sports moment, but really a sports moment is going to be more important than what number three is. Number three, ending slavery.
I was thinking more like, I guess I was thinking Chicago things.
Well they should
not.
Be on
it's the
list.
Bicentennial of Illinois. But,
I know, but like the Great Chicago Fire.
Well, that could be on there.
Boy, if
the
that's...
The World's Fair.
There you are. Your whole town burned to the ground. And victorious Cubs are beating you out.
Number two.
The Chicago Fire is not on the top 10.
But they did. They put out a list of 200, right? So
I don't care. I mean, ending slavery, Lewis and Clark. Hey, listen, I've interviewed those guys. That's a big deal.
Lincoln-Douglas debates?
Is number five.
Okay.
Number six, women voting. In 1913, Illinois became the first state east of the Mississippi to allow women to vote.
Okay. I didn't know that.
That's swell. Number seven, Barack Obama elected.
Well, I think that's a big one.
First African American
president.
List.
Yeah. Maybe ahead of the Cubs.
Really, everything could be number two on this list since the Cubs are, right? Is Barack Obama's election bigger than ending slavery or women voting, right? You can have that argument all day long.
And both happened in Grant Park.
Let's see. What happened in Grant Park?
Barack Obama's acceptance of.
And the Cubs homage. Victory parade.
Mm-hmm.
Or rally. Well, actually, did it end there? Is that where it ended?
It was in the general vicinity. Where is Grand Park, really?
The World's Fair is number eight.
Really? Okay.
World's Columbian Exposition, 400th anniversary of Christopher Columbus.
So, like, where the world came to Chicago. I think there are people like Annie Oakley and all those people coming into Chicago. The whole world came here. And
sure, Devil in the White City, all
right.
That. That's
so
deal.
That's after the Cubs. I love the Cubs.
The nuclear age. Okay, this is on here because I thought, wait a minute, how is the splitting of the atom, right? Nothing's more elemental than that.
University of Chicago, right?
How is the splitting of the atom not on there? But they do have December 2nd, 1942, producing about half of a watt for less than 5 minutes, paving the way for the atomic bomb and nuclear power plants. That's number nine. Okay, now back to Crazy Town. Number 10, Blago's arrest.
Why?
Yeah, I mean, pick a governor.
Because this list is stupid, that's right. Why.
It's too bad. I mean, I think the bicentennial, the whole thing has just not caught fire at all.
Are we putting that? No, but are we putting like a little time capsule and digging it somewhere for another 200 years?
I don't know.
That's my favorite part about centennials. That's the only thing I think centennials should be. When you dig something up and when you bury something.
Yeah, not to yuck your yum, but I mean, with the internet and digital.
But it's so exciting to open up a capsule.
But I mean, because when we used to do it, you go, wow, that's right. But now everything is saved and cataloged forever. There's no great, it's like school reunions. There's no great mystery of going back because everybody's on Facebook. So a time capsule to me is less revelatory than it once was. But, hey, time capsules. No, they're good. I'm sorry. Swell. That's great. That's great. The Democratic National Convention did not make the top 10.
Wow.
Al Capone being convicted of tax evasion did not make the top 10.
Or just Al Capone.
Yeah, no kidding.
Cubs World Series?
Number two. Most member. You know, the Cubs winning the World Series, listen, that really was extraordinary. And they're living people that voted on this, right?
Right. Lincoln. Even though we're sitting in Chicago, there were no dead people who voted for this particular list.
Well, but I mean, Lincoln and Douglas didn't get a vote. Maybe if they did, it would have been up higher. Maybe if it had happened then, it would have been up higher. But that was a big deal.
Well, from the standpoint of the biggest human crowd in the history of the world.
Yeah, put it that way.
That's pretty significant.
If there's any that we're missing or you think we should be also talking about here, 312-981-7200, call or text.
1980, there were hands across America, passed through Illinois. Is that on the list?
No, but that was...
Was that 1980?
I don't right care when it was. Whenever it was, that does not belong in the top 10.
You could just feel it around the world.
I would say the Black Sox scandal does not belong in the top 10. I would say the Democratic National Convention could bump Blago.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Blago is so 20 minutes ago, well, right? That's just not, it's not that important already.
There have been three governors, only three in our lifetime, four in our lifetime.
Four of the last seven
who've gone to prison. So,
well, excluding Rauner. So it was four of the last eight have gone to jail. By the way, speaking of extraordinary things that human beings have done, I just want to pull this up here. There's nothing going on there right now. I'm watching. Oh, because it's reloading. I'm getting the Wheel of Death on the website. I'm looking at NASA.gov any moment now. That is within the next, let's see, it's 148. There are various benchmarks for this InSight Martian lander that's supposed to land. One of them is when it begins its descent. Another one is when it actually touches down. There's 7 minutes where we lose communication. How long then for information to get back? When does the beep saying I'm here come through? When do the astronauts there first send message? When do we hear the human voice from Mars? All of those will be happening in the next, you know, half hour or so. But I have the pot up on this, and I'm not able to hear him right now because the website, evidently a lot of people are going to the NASA website.
Isn't it cool, though, that you can use the word Martian in a real way?
I know. Oh, yeah. Can you bring it up, Elif? Go ahead, and what have you got in on your site over there?
Oh, wow.
This is the Jet Propulsion Laboratory.
Ground stations have reported plasma blackout, still receiving InSight telemetry via Marco.
What's that?
I'll explain
Marco
it later.
Alpha has carrier interruption.
I had carrier interruption.
I think the plasma TV blackout happened during the storm.
Now experiencing the peak heating rate.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, now let's not all be funny about this.
3,000 degrees Fahrenheit as it protects the lander from the heating environment.
That's pretty cool. That heat shield is heating up as it kind of walls in there.
Even he thought that was hot.
Marco Bravo shows carrier interruption, but still in lock.
This is NASA's live stream of the Martian lander. It's going to dig a hole in the Martian floor there and go down about 15 feet or so, take the temperature.
InSight has passed through peak deceleration. Telemetry shows the spacecraft saw about 8 Gs.
Marco Alpha and Marco Bravo maintain lock.
Radio Science reports carrier detected. Yeah.
Several different communications coming in.
InSight is now traveling at a velocity of 2,000 meters per second.
Sounds like they've got word back there. Huh?
Seems to have passed this very critical point of peak heating, yeah, and peak deceleration. The next big step is parachute inflation.
And you can see that on our timeline on the bottom of the screen. The next event is parachute deploy.
So we're listening to and watching the feed from NASA as InSight makes its descent down to the surface of Mars. And I think that should all be accomplished during the show today if it goes successful before 3 o'clock. Elif says take a break. We will. And catch up with this again in a minute. 151 on WGN.
20 meters. 17 meters. Standing by for touchdown.
They had just done the countdown, 800 meters, 600, 200, 20 meters. That was the...
Touchdown confirmed.
InSight has landed. The video on the stream from NASA shows everybody standing and hugging and high-fiving. You imagine that scene?
Wow.
That's
fantastic.
This never gets old.
No, it doesn't.
doesn't, Rob.
Yeah, I agree. USA. So InSight has landed. That was the confirmation on Mars. Now it's got to do the work it's got to do. But I'm just so glad we got some of those folks, right? Like maybe you're a good truck driver and I can talk on the radio and she can teach what we've all got our skills, right? But I could not be in that room. You know, it's just amazing that they're able to do the things they are able to do, and some of them are us. So hooray. Okay, 1:55. Steve's got the news that's coming around the corner. From the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, the stories that matter on WGN. Texts include these. We were wondering about great moments in Illinois history. The state of Illinois celebrating its bicentennial. They've come out with their own flawed list. It's a fine list. A lot of people put a lot of hard work into this, and I think we should all celebrate our state's history. I, like Steve, am not sure that the Cubs winning the World Series is the second most memorable thing that's ever happened in 2 years in the land of Lincoln, but there it is. John, the Ronco headquarters in Chicago has impacted my life the most. By the way, the Beanie Baby founder is an Illinoisan. Just saying. John Ferris Bueller, two words. Yeah. John, how about the Bears winning the Super Bowl? John, how about the Wright brothers landing in Alsip? Great moments in Illinois history.
Now, don't get me wrong. If the Cubs had won the Super Bowl, then I think that would be in the top 10.
Also, Steve, this text is just poured in from 573. The mission to Mars is not manned. John, no one is landing on Mars. It's a rover. I'm not sure that that's true. I believe there are some astronauts in this spacecraft.
Quit it, man. Don't do that.
And the really exciting part will be then when they launch it back up and bring her on home.
They're going to be the first to play jarts on Mars?
If they haven't thought this through, I think it's about time they started getting some people on that because they're not going to be up there very long. You know, it's also interesting to me along these lines, Steve. You'll do the news here for us in 15 seconds. We'll talk about this in the next half hour. But Time Magazine's Person of the Year, people get to vote. Their vote isn't, a mandate?
Binding.
It's not a binding referendum, if you will. But there's one name or entity that is not on the list, and I don't know how it's not, in fact, the winner. We need to talk about this after.
I got to figure out a way to grow 3 years worth of food here on a planet where nothing grows. Luckily, I'm a botanist. Mars will come to fear my botany powers.
I love that movie. It's a great book, too, if you haven't read it, but the movie and the book are fun and clever and kind of true in that they said, okay, what would life on Mars be like? How would you or could you survive on your own up there if you had to? And then it was sort of crowdsourced and became the book and became the movie, and it's all fun. But this isn't fiction now. The InSight lander is evidently on the surface. We reached out to Michelle Nichols, the director of public observing at Adler Planetarium, just to sort of put a bow on this thing, at least for us today, or maybe to get us started. Hey, Michelle, it's John Williams. You're on WGN. How are you?
I'm doing great, John. How are you?
Really good. I was so happy because we were able to hear on the radio, you know, sort of the 800 meters, 300 meters, the landing, and then the people at NASA all cheering. And that's kind of the touchdown moment, isn't it?
It never gets old. Yeah, that was exactly when you heard it. That's when NASA heard it.
So what did that mean, though? That was it actually landing on the surface then? It's there and so far so good?
So far so good. What the only difference is that there's a time delay between the radio signal going from Mars to Earth. So it actually happened about 7 minutes prior in actual real time, but that's exactly when the signal arrived at Earth to when we found out that it was successfully landed on Mars.
When is it going to start doing the things that it's going to do?
It's going to be a few months. The first thing they're going to have to do in the next few hours is deploy the solar panels, so it'll need some way to generate energy. And then they'll, over the next few months, make sure that the science instruments are working well, and then there'll be a robotic arm that will actually lift up a couple of science instruments and place them on the surface of Mars. They just need to pick which exact spot they want that's nice and flat, and we'll do what they need it to do.
Well, is it going to drive around? Does it have a rover on it?
Nope, this one's a lander. So this one needs to be as stable and as still as possible. So no wheels on this one. So it has legs, and it's just going to sit in one spot.
Yeah. And so do they know? I mean, are they tilted? Are they at an angle? Is it on a good level area? How do they know that it's not in a precarious position?
They had gotten an initial image from the spacecraft. So right after it landed, just a couple minutes after it landed, it sent an initial image. It still has a bunch of dust on it because there was a dust cover over the lens of the camera to protect against any dust that might fly up. But initially, looking at that image, it looks nice and flat. It basically landed on a parking lot on Mars. So that's exactly where they wanted it to be. So initial indications are that it is sitting exactly the way they want it to, but they'll know more over the next few hours.
I got to tell you, I just find myself in awe, you know, the wonder of it all. And just if you think about it like this, so somebody on Earth hits a button, 7 minutes later, that signal travels up there, and now magically an arm is going to deploy and begin to capture sunlight and charge a battery so this thing can do things. It, just that simple fact alone is kind of blows the mind, doesn't it?
Yeah, and you just got to feel for the folks who are on the team that something they built is sitting on another planet right now, right this very second, just got there, and got there successfully. And it's just, it never gets old, absolutely never, ever gets old.
What was the lag? I mean, how long have these people been working on this? How long has this project been at play?
A little over a decade, but some of the ideas for this spacecraft and the instruments have been around for several decades. There have been people who've been working on this their whole career, and so it's never quick to get something to another planet. So they had to come up with the idea and propose it and get it funded and get it built and tested. And the good thing with this one is, though, it was working on technology for landing that already was used on another lander called Phoenix, which landed on Mars several years ago. So they at least had technology that they knew worked once before. But it's never a done deal. Just because you did it before, it doesn't mean that it'll work this time around.
And it was in orbit for 6 months before it touched down today?
It was en route to Mars for about 6 months. So it launched back in May, and it basically just, it went straight to Mars. There was no orbiting, no stopping along the way. So this thing went directly from Earth to Mars.
How does it know where to go?
Oh, that's a great question. It's all physics. It's really Isaac Newton tells us how to figure this out. So, but they basically have to pick their spot and work their way backwards and figure out, okay, if we want to get to this spot, we have to be in this place in space, and then we have to get there this way, and we have to launch on this date at this time. So it's a whole lot of physics equations, but it all boils down to getting to a precise spot on Mars.
So in that case, then, to get it to where it is, just go and land means maybe when you lift off is just as critical, because that's when everything's
absolutely. There's usually just a very short launch window, depending on where you're going. If it's into Earth orbit or on your way to Mars or going to Jupiter or something, your launch window may be instantaneous. Like if you don't launch at this particular second on this particular day,
right,
then you got to wait another day. So yeah, it can be a pretty short launch window.
You know how when people go to the mall and they drive around the parking lot waiting for a spot? That's what I would have done on this Mars. I thought, well, I'm sure they're going to fly around a few times and just like, okay, everybody, are we ready? Because there's no second chance. Are you ready? But no, they just went straight in, huh?
Yeah.
Dang.
It's they did that before with the Viking landers. So the Viking missions to Mars, they did orbit for a while, and then they sent the landers down. But the these, they just go straight there. If you want to stick around and orbit for a while, you need more fuel, you need a bigger spacecraft, costs more money, all that stuff. So it all goes into account when they're trying to figure out exactly how they want to get there.
So what do we expect to get out of this mission?
We will find out something that we have no idea the answer to, and that is, what is the interior of Mars like? You'd think something that simple of a question, we would have known the answer decades ago, but we don't. We need a spacecraft that will sit there. We need to understand what the interior of Mars is like now, what it was like in the past. Is it liquid? Is it solid? Are there Mars quakes? Are there other things that can tell us about what the interior is like? So this is an extraordinarily important mission because everything under the surface, every single thing under the surface, we don't know. And so it's going to answer a whole lot of questions, hopefully in the next 2 years.
I'm a little worried about that drill because I don't know if there's a hard rock in the way or I just, to me, that's
yep.
kind of fraught with peril there. How
will the Martians feel?
Well, the Martians already know everything. They know we're there, so... They probably saw this meteor streaking through the sky when this thing landed. But yeah, the drill, hey, that's science. That's what you gotta hope that you built something that will handle the conditions that you've got. But you're right. If there's some crazy hard rock underneath and you just happen to put your drill right over it, well, you're only going about as far as that drill, that rock will let you go. So, but they hope to get that drill down about 16 feet. Yeah. So that would be ideal. But frankly, I bet you they'd be happy with anything. But 16 feet is ideal.
Yeah. And didn't a previous lander on Mars discover some sort of proto-organic matter? Do we believe that is there any hope of finding any evidence of life on Mars?
Not with this particular mission, but the next rover, the Mars 2020 rover, doesn't have its fancy name yet, but call it Mars 2020 for now. It looks a lot like the Curiosity rover that landed in 2012, but it'll have different instruments. That is the mission that's going to start to search for signs of prior life on Mars. Don't know if we'll find it, but that's the mission that will really have the science instruments dedicated to answering that question.
Got it. And we're going to be there again in 2 years? 2 years, huh?
Yeah, we're going to be there in 2 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mark the calendar. Yeah, and even more fancy landing system, but we used the same landing system when we landed Curiosity in 2012. So it's nice to use technology that you know worked once before. But like I said, there's no guarantee the next time around that it's going to work. But there's at least a better chance that you know that it's going to work.
And the astronauts that are on this mission, do they have enough food and water and oxygen to last them for a while?
Yep, the astronauts up on the International Space Station, who were probably watching NASA TV as this thing landed, they are just fine. No people on this one. Mm-hmm. Just a plucky little lander that got itself to Mars. And so hopefully over the next few months and a couple years, we'll get some great science data from this.
Well, that all sounds terrific, Michelle. And by the way, did I see in some reporting of this that Adler Planetarium has any sort of connection, or was it just that you were, like other places, monitoring it? Has Adler done any work on this mission per se?
No, not per se. We definitely monitor everything that NASA's up to. So we had a watch party there going on. So folks were there watching and cheering them on. I saw some video of that they posted to our interior communication system of that. So folks were there, and they were excited, and staff were excited. And it's just, it's a fun time. We like it when stuff goes well, because
yeah.
It's not as fun when it goes badly.
Anything else you'd like us to know about what's going on over at Adler before I let you go?
Oh, we've got our Space Odyssey Adler After Dark coming up in December. So if you want to have some fun for the 21 and overs, tickets are available right now. So go to adlerplanetarium.org for more information.
For 21 and overs, is it music and cocktails at the planetarium?
Absolutely. It's the best way to enjoy the planetarium. So
yeah.
It's the third Thursday in December.
Oh, that's good news. I'll pass that along again down the road. Our best to everybody over there in USA. I'm glad, not just USA. I mean, I'm glad that America did this. I'm glad that humankind did this. I'm just...
Humanity, yep. Humanity landed on Mars today, for sure.
I like the way you put that. Michelle Nichols, the Director of Public Observing at Adler Planetarium. Thanks, Michelle.
Thanks, John.
Bye now. So, once again, our top story, no astronauts on Mars. It had been previously reported here that the astronauts were well and doing fine, but evidently astronauts were not included in this trip. And so we'll alert the newsroom.
They're there in spirit.
We'll alert the newsroom about that.
The newsroom knew about that.
Yeah. That's great, though. I mean, really, when you know, there's some things like brain surgery, and you go, oh, I can't do that. And the Mars stuff, I can't do that.
Well, I know we can't do it, but it seems like when they do it, we also do it if you follow it. Like, it's very exciting and
oh yeah, I'm there
and thrilled.
Whatever you need. You need my tax dollar. You need my cheerleading. But if like when I was a child, they said, mankind is someday going to, in order to survive, need you to figure out how to land on Mars. I'd go, we're screwed. We ain't going. Bye-bye, humanity. And then there's some people out there who can do brain surgery or figure physics equations or, you know, speak Chinese. I don't know. What is the thing that just amazes you that some people can do? And this stuff is way up there on my list, Jack. Because it's like you were saying, V, so you've got one shot, and it's not even orbiting. It's just got to, like, be at the right place at the right time where the planet is going to be there. If you miss, like, I'd be sitting there with my BB gun, you know, just with my bullseye thing. I'd just be looking up in the sky going, all right, there's Mars. Boom! No, they had to figure out where everything was going to be and the orbits and the gravitation and all that.
Yeah, I mean, I still am trying to understand the R with the little 2 and divide and move it over, get gravity. And if it was based on my physics lessons.
So they go to the Jet Propulsion Laboratory and there's me and Violetta.
All right, carry the G over. It's the little M with the big one.
It would be a bad day for humanity, as our guest just said.
Distance between is R. I think I remember that.
Time magazine has their list of the People of the Year candidates. Okay, I'll tell you who's in first place and second place. I'll tell you where you know who is. And I'll tell you who is missing from the list that should be number one. In a minute. This we're looking at on WGN today, one, the state of Illinois with its list of the most important things that have ever happened in Illinois. John, what about the creation of the Board of Trade? That's a really big deal. This one says from 708, what about the tallest building on the planet? I presume they're referring to the Hancock Building or then the Sears Tower. Weren't those at one point in time the tallest buildings on the planet?
I don't know if Hancock ever was.
But maybe Sears was.
Sears was definitely.
Yeah.
What about the reversal of the river?
I was thinking about that one. I was thinking
that's crazy.
That's pretty flippin' amazing what they were able to do and thought and why they did it and all of that jazz. But it's not as big as the Cubs winning the World Series or Blago going to jail is the dumbest thing on that list. Come on.
All he did was talk about it.
About the Mars lander, John, to me, what stood out on the audio from NASA was hearing women's voices and ethnic accents as part of the NASA team. That was amazing to me. This texter says, John, longtime listener to your show. I think most people in your listening audience could give two hoots about the mission to Mars, but I do, and I really appreciate your coverage. Your show always has an intellectual side that I look forward to every day. Please don't change that. Jeff in Homewood. And from 573, John, I swear there is no one on there. I swear to you, they haven't perfected space travel on that distance. I've been under the impression for much of the show that it was a manned mission to Mars. There's Chicago, and they're real. Watch Dan Ponce, Lauren Jiggets, Larry Potash, and Robin Baumgarten get real in the mornings with the WGN-TV morning news team. That's weekdays from 4 to 10. They had nice coverage today of the snow. By now, Illinois residents are largely familiar with the enforcement action against Sterigenics International's Willowbrook facility. Both federal and state authorities have determined that they're emitting amounts of cancer-causing ethylene oxide gas. Now, a recent investigation by the Chicago Tribune found that two Lake County facilities are also releasing the same cancer-causing gas. Medline Industries in Waukegan and Vantage Specialty Chemicals of Gurnee. Attorneys at GWC Law Firm are currently investigating on behalf of the folks that work near those facilities. If you live or work near Medline in Waukegan or Vantage in Gurnee and have been diagnosed with cancer that could be linked to that gas, ethylene oxide, contact GWC immediately. They've got a great proven track record of success against environmental polluters. GWC says here, can I help those who may have developed cancer caused by exposure to ethylene oxide emissions? Here's the number to call for a free consultation, 312-999-9999. Yep. 312 and then dial nines or visit GWC at justicestartstoday.com. Oh, no. Is this the Monkees? Tribune has a story today, 11 new holiday albums, and the Monkees are one of them, and this is their song. Two decks of Uno and two sets of Clue. Oh my God, this is terrible. This is really bad, and I'm a Monkees fan. And we're done with that. Wow, Monkees. Sorry. I'm all for Christmas songs, I'm all for the Monkees, and when I heard, hey, a Monkees Christmas song, home run, right? Not so much. Do you like that
Why
song?
Why didn't you like it?
Because it, when it was in my ears, I thought that was unpleasant.
Sorry. That was my fault at the beginning.
Well, yeah, that.
But the rest of the song is their fault.
Yeah, right. We may have started it at the wrong time, but they finished it, and it wasn't good. Time Magazine is saying, you go online and vote. They give you categories and they ask you to say, you know, should this person be person of the year? It's another non-binding referendum. The Time Magazine's editors will determine who the person of the year should be. Last year, it was the president. Of course, it was the president. And even the president this year thinks it should absolutely be him, although in the online voting, he's not even close. President Trump is getting 2% of the vote. You know who's getting the most vote? Is what's the name of that
BTS,
which is a Korean boy band. Trump, BTS, BTS, Trump. They're killing it in the voting. But you know what people are doing? They're going, oh, I love BTS. A lot of people don't like the current president, and they may think he had it last year. You can see why BTS would get a lot of votes, and why Lady Gaga gets more votes, why Michelle Obama gets more votes, why the Thai cave divers get more votes. Remember that? Little boys on the soccer team trapped in the caves and they had to go down and get them. Those people are number two on the list. Number one is BTS, the Korean boy band, and then the Thai cave divers, which...
That guy on Mars has got to be freaking out.
Yeah, I'm sitting here on Mars with a Pop-Tart, some fizzies, and no way home, and you people aren't voting for me? And by the way, Steve, it's a team of three people on Mars right now. There are
miniature
three astronauts,
people.
Little tiny people. Ariana Grande, 10%. 8% said LeBron. He's having a good year.
Didn't he retire or something?
He left Cleveland and went to Los Angeles. Oh. Here's the thing that bugs me about this. You know who's not on there and who should be? It's journalists. You know why Donald Trump is important? Yeah. But really, what has Donald Trump done all year long? And what have journalists done all year long? You know, it's expose the president, explain government to us, fight for the people. The president's been torqued at them. They've overstepped their bounds. It's journalists. This is the year of journalism. My God, that's not even on the list. Planet Earth is on the list. Go Earth. But I mean, if you can vote for Earth, nobody is more important on Earth right now than journalists. If they do not win, I'm going to join those people on Mars because this is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Steve's got the news. All right, my rant's done, but actually it's just done for a little while. You're going to hear that for the rest of the year because, you know, now people are voting. And if journalists or journalism is not the most important thing or people in America or in the world today, then tell me who is. It is nobody. It's not, who else is on this list? Serena. Serena, important. I know. She's an icon and she's a great tennis player. But no, I'm sorry. Robert Mueller? No, it's not that. It's journalists. Sponsored by CMEgroup.com, WGN Radio News. I just have one question about that news, Steve. It's 2:36 on WGN. This is John Williams. We sure appreciate you tuning in. We're in the Allstate Skyline Studio, downtown Chicago. Did the president say that, or did he infer that he doesn't believe his own administration's reporting on climate?
He said he does not. Let me just read to you the lead into this cut from ABC. I watched the president. I didn't hear him speak himself, but he said, President Trump says he's read part of the report from multiple federal agencies on climate change released Friday that warns of major impacts on the U.S. economy and infrastructure if big steps are not taken to slow down global warming. The president says, I don't believe it. Here's the cut.
Yeah, I don't believe it. No, I don't believe it.
Okay. I'm sorry. What are you going to do?
The report released on Black Friday, by the way, the day after Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I know that, and that's their effort to bury it, say the critics of the timing of that. I don't have a lot of time to second guess the releasing of it, but yeah, I get it. Long holiday weekend, nobody's paying attention, but I figured it might come up on Monday, and here we are. So they ask him about it, and instead of just offering me a little salvo, just a little, well, I don't know what he would say to make me happy, but something like, yes, that's an area of concern, we should do everything we can to make sure the climate is whatever.
Well, he seemed to be differentiating himself, the U.S., from other countries and saying that the U.S. is doing very well.
You're going to have China and Japan and all of Asia and all of these other countries, you know, addresses our country. Right now, we're at the cleanest we've ever been. And that's very important to me.
Okay, but the question that preceded that, they asked him about the report, and he said he doesn't believe it. I guess the question is, what is the it in that, right? Does he not believe that the Earth is getting warmer, or does he not believe that the United States isn't doing enough? That's what they'll do. They always find a way to parse these things back, you know, to shave it in a way that makes it not as maddeningly offensive as it appears on the surface.
Well, that always comes next.
That's what I mean.
First, Kellyanne, the president says something
that's incomprehensible.
And then they find a shoe to jam that foot into.
Like, he went back and listened to the tape, and he said, I don't know why he wouldn't want that, as opposed to would want that. He misspoke. Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Mr. President, for that. Thank you, Steve Bertrand, for that. Hey, it is Black, let's see, we had Black Friday, we had Small Business Saturday.
Cyber Monday.
Today is Cyber Monday. And I said, Ella, folks are still shopping online. Let's just give them a handful, 3, 4, 5 maybe different buys that may or may not be of interest to you. But, you know, there's so many of them floating out there. Let's just highlight a few purchases today that might be worth your clicking time. She found, is it Nicholas DeLeon, who is with Consumer Reports, and he is a senior tech reporter there. Hey, Nicholas, it's John Williams, and you're on WGN Radio in Chicago. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Really good. Thanks. I appreciate your time. So were you able to sort of satisfy my requirement here? Do you have any good deals for us out there?
Yeah, I hope so. I have a couple items that your listeners may be interested in. And, you know, kind of the name Cyber Monday implies, you know, electronics, computers and TVs and all those type of things, which is true. But it's not strictly exclusively those technology items. And we can go over that, you know, at your convenience.
Sure. In fact, you know, last night, which I guess technically wasn't Cyber Monday, but some of these things don't live just in a 24-hour space anyway, right? Some of them have been there for a while.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, it's kind of like a deals weekend. Anywhere from the time of, let's say, Thursday evening right through today. And to be honest, a lot of these deals will be valid through the remainder of the holiday shopping season. It's, you know, it's a marketing thing. It's Black Friday. It's Cyber Monday. It's exciting. Everyone gets into it. But a lot of these deals will be available, you know, for the next couple of weeks for sure.
Well, I don't know if you can give me any insight insight on this, but so last night I was clicking around, and I don't know how I did it, but I found myself on Groupon. And then instead of, you know, buying, what I think of Groupon, well, I guess it's tickets and services, but there's merchandise, of course, there. It's all new to me. I've never shopped online before. And so then I found a men's wool coat that kind of goes down below your butt. It's kind of a long one, and it's kind of stylish, double-breasted, charcoal gray, a nice kind of winter men's wool coat. $350. It was on sale for $39. It was on sale for $39. It was 89% off. And I'm thinking, okay, stupid. If you want to give them your $39, you can, but it's probably worth about $39. But it said $350. So I don't know. Do you think I got a real, did I really save 90% on something, or did I buy a $39 coat?
Yeah, I don't know that specific deal, and I can't speak to Groupon specifically, but that definitely seems like a very deep discount. At the very least, you're gambling with $40, and you know maybe it's a great coat. Who knows?
That's what my wife said. She goes, "Welcome to online shopping, honey. You won't know until it arrives, and I guess I could send it back." Tell me something you noticed that you think folks would be interested in.
Yeah, so there was a couple items. I guess we could just start with some of the tech stuff. Black Friday and Cyber Monday, they are very, very synonymous with televisions. And one model that we tested and one that we liked, there's a 50-inch Samsung 4K TV. That's at Best Buy and Newegg. Newegg is an online website that kind of specializes in like computer parts and stuff, but they also sell TVs for $330. So for $330, you're getting a 50-inch Samsung 4K TV, which did very well in our ratings. And that's a couple years ago, the idea of a 50-inch 4K TV for less than $2,000 would have been laughable. So this is quite a substantial deal for sure if you're in the market for a TV.
Well, it is pretty amazing. When those came out, you knew that in time the price would drop, but some folks couldn't wait. They had to go out and get it. And now here we are at $328. Is that on Best Buy's website then, huh?
Yeah, it's best. And the beauty of a lot of these stores, Best Buy included, is not only can you shop online and buy it online, but if they have it in your local store, you can actually pick it up at your local store and either save the shipping fee or just save the shipping time. So, if you want to pick it up on the way home from work, it's very convenient that way.
50-inch Samsung 4K UHD Smart TV at Best Buy and Newegg, $328. Give me another buy you like.
There was one, Black Friday and Cyber Monday are also a very good time to buy a laptop. I've seen laptop deals all over the place. And there's one that's live now. It's the Dell Inspiron 2-in-1. That is a 2-in-1 laptop, which is kind of like a laptop where you can fold the screen kind of behind the keyboard and kind of use it almost like a tablet, which are very convenient, and that saves you from needing to buy a separate tablet. This one is available for about $280 at Office Depot, and that's regularly retails for around $400. And this is again another laptop that did pretty well in our ratings. It's not necessarily the fastest model that you'll see, but a lot of times those super high end laptops don't really go on sale that much during Black Friday / Cyber Monday. So you're really looking at the value end of the market when it comes to laptops, but this is definitely one that did well in our ratings. And if you just need either like a second laptop or one for the family room where you're not trying to render 4K videos or you're not trying to become the next great YouTube star, it's a perfectly fine laptop for families.
It's probably worth noting. I mean, I'd like to see somebody research that. How many of us have way overpaid for computer software that we really don't need? Right? I mean, I need to be able to go to Facebook. I need to look at YouTube. I need to do email and text. And I'm kind of done with my laptop after that.
That's a funny thing, because laptops, they can be very expensive. You could very easily spend more than $2,000. And if you really sit down and analyze what you do with your computer, you pay your bills, you go to Facebook, you don't need to spend $2,000 to do that. That's for sure.
The Dell Inspiron 2-in-1, $280. Okay, give me another device you like.
If you go to Amazon, there's a ton of Echo devices on sale. Echo is the smart speaker with the Alexa voice assistant built into it, so you can ask it questions like what's the weather like, or if you want, you can kind of program it with some devices in your home to do things like turn on and off the lights, open the garage door, and that whole home automation space, which is very popular among Consumer Reports readers. You'll get about $40 in savings if you buy the Echo Plus, and they'll throw in a free smart bulb. That's one of those bulbs that you could program and turn on and off with the Echo device. It's quite neat, I'll say.
What are we looking at on this one, then, for the device and the bulb together?
It's around $110, so you're saving about $15 you're saving if you had bought them separately in any other day. So not a huge discount, but, you know, if you want to get started in that home automation space, which has really kind of picked up steam over the past year or so, it's a nice way to kind of dip your toe into it.
You've got this mattress pillow top on here, too?
Yes, yeah. Actually, it's funny, maybe a couple years ago, there weren't too many, a mattress startup company kind of sounds kind of funny, but there are a ton of those nowadays, and the one that's actually the highest rated in our ratings currently is the Avocado Green. It is the one of the latest models, and they have a sale for Cyber Monday. You have to use the coupon code MERRY175, and that takes off $175 off the cost of the mattress. And these mattresses usually go for around like $1,400. So with savings, you're looking at a little more than $1,200, which is, a competitive for a mattress. And, how often are you buying mattresses? But to stress, this is literally the highest rated mattress in our ratings currently. So it's definitely a good deal.
And the code is Merry, as in Merry Christmas. Merry175, as in you save $175.
Correct.
AvocadoGreenMattress.com is the website for them. Do you list all of these at Consumer Reports as well, Nicholas?
Yes, these are all available on ConsumerReports.org.
Senior tech reporter there. Hey, Nicholas, I'm out of time. You're really good. Let's talk again sometime between now and the end of the season.
Sure, my pleasure.
Thanks for your time. That's Nicholas DeLeon over at Consumer Reports. Some texts include these. John, the most important people in 2018. We were talking about Time Magazine's Person of the Year. The most important people for 2018 are the American voters. I think you can make that case. John, the president can't read a one-page memo. Now he read 1,600 pages in this report and doesn't believe it. No one trusts the media, John. 90% are too far to the left and 10% are too far to the right. The reporting should be unbiased. I said journalists should be the person of the year. John, the entity of the year or people or persons of the year should be the California firefighters. John, journalists are like priests. When they're good, they're essential. When they're bad, they're destructive and can be devastating. They certainly should not all be assumed to be good or bad. I get your point. If you wanted to ask me again, who should Time Magazine's Person of the Year be? I would say journalists, around the globe for that matter. John, I was just at Kohl's and bought a few nice tops to wear. At the checkout, I asked if they had any extra coupons I could use. And she said, yes, we can give you 20% off because there's a coupon out there now. So I got another 20% off some great buys over there. They have 20% off coupons at Kohl's. Have a good day, John. All right, 608, thanks for sharing that. And I never think to do that, but maybe you should do that at the register. Say, hey, can you do any better than that? You got any coupons? You ever do that? Say, hey, you got a coupon?
Yeah, I've done that at Macy's.
And they do, and that works.
Usually, yeah.
What's the point of the coupon then? What is the point of the coupon? If you're going to give me 20% off, give me 20% off. And now just think about it. I'm here buying this now. If I'm Macy's, I want to keep that extra 20%. You're about to give me, a dollar. Why would I ask for 80 cents? I mean, lucky me, but I've kind of, now that you mention it, kind of surprised they do that. Okay. Nice.
I learned that from my mom.
Your mom's a smart shopper that way?
She always has questions, yeah.
I got an email today from somebody, and they said, you were talking about a book on the radio, John, and we want to buy a book for somebody for a Christmas gift. Speaking of gifts, and what was that book? I'm sure you're snapping your fingers sometimes. You hear somebody review it on the radio or say something nice about it, and then you don't remember what it was. So I made a little list of four or five of the books that I've been reading, whose authors we have been interviewing, that I have been pushing because I like them. And I'll give you that list. Get your number two pencils ready in a minute. Over the weekend, by the way, and it's a very long weekend when you think about it. I mean, Wednesday we were on the air. We took Thursday and Friday off. I did the Saturday show, but we've all been together not since last Wednesday. So the news click that we had up over Thanksgiving holiday was, are you more thankful, less thankful, or the same thankful this year as you were this time last year? And happily, 65% of you said, I have more to be thankful for at Thanksgiving 2018. 8% said less, 27% said the same. We have a new news click. It's our daily web poll question at WGNradio.com.
Should Trump be Time Magazine's Person of the Year?
Oh.
A, yes. B, no.
Yeah. Remember, it's not a popularity contest. So, you can make a case. Yep, he should win it 2 years in a row. But that's a question for you to answer. I'm going to say no, only because, again, I still think that his foil, the journalists of the country and world, should be number one this year. But Trump, Time Magazine, Person of the Year, yes or no? Let's preview it. You can vote at WGNradio.com. And on my Facebook page, I'm WGN King John on Facebook. By the way, here are those books that of late we've talked about, just in case you're wondering if you are doing some book shopping, what the book was we talked about on the radio. The Feather Thief. Remember that book? Is about the theft of some fly fishing feathers from a museum in London. This happened not that long ago, and it's a fascinating story about feathers, fly fishing, the people that cherish the feathers for the flies, and someone who stole them, the Feather Thief. The Library Book by Susan Orlean. And by the way, one of her great books is The Orchid Thief, and it's about orchids and somebody who stole orchids. You don't care about feathers or orchids, but you do appreciate a story well told, and both of those are that. And you learn a lot along the way. It's fascinating stories. And the Orchid Thief was just marvelous. Her latest book, Susan Orlean's, is The Library Book about the Great Central Library Fire in Los Angeles. It was not that long ago, about her love of books. And again, who started the fire? What happened? So another mystery solved or attempted to be solved by Susan Orlean, The Library Book. You heard her maybe here on WGN. I've been reading Big Game about the NFL by Mark Leibovich. This book is hilarious. He is really good. The book is snarky and funny and contemporary. I mean, it's about the billionaire owners, the stadiums, the NFL right now, concussions, and Leibovich is very good. Powerball by Rob Nyer is about Major League Baseball. So there's a baseball and football book for you. He goes to a baseball game, not an especially great game by not two necessarily important teams at the time, but he tells you all about baseball these days, how it's played, how it's changed based on going to one single game, Powerball. We talked about Michael Lewis's The Fifth Risk, and it's about the Trump administration. It's one of those political books. It starts out great. It's not the best book on this topic right now, but it's one that we did talk about. And I'm out of time, so I'll just share more of my notes on this with you tomorrow. But I've been reading Michelle Obama's Becoming and am thoroughly enjoying it. The stories she tells in this book are sweet and charming. It's the book is at least not in the first 100 pages, not braggadocious. It's the matter-of-fact telling of her life on the South Side and how she got to where she is today. The book is called Becoming by Michelle Obama. So I've read through her childhood, through going to Whitney Young Magnet School, through Princeton, and she's now off to Harvard. By the way, this happens to a lot of people, especially girls and maybe people of color, even those that go to Whitney Young. She goes to the school counselor, the college counselor at Whitney Young, and she was a good student at Whitney Young. And she sat down and she says, what are your college plans? And she says, I want to go to Princeton. Her brother was a basketball player at Princeton. And the counselor looks at her and says, well, I don't think you are Princeton material. Michelle Obama, who's getting the last laugh now. And she said, that made me decide right then and there, I'm going to Princeton. Let's go to Studio A, where Ro Khan and Anna DeVlantis are back.
Hi, John Williams. Hey, we are back. You know, nothing better than waking up after sort of a sleepy, holiday-infused food coma kind of weekend and thinking you sort of ease into your day, and then you see your inbox full of emails. But I do a lot of online shopping, and so, you know, the Cyber Monday thing and all the deals caught my notice this morning.
I thought you were going to say there's nothing like having a nice, sleepy weekend vacation. And then you wake up to 9 inches of slush.
That was the other part. But that makes you want to stay indoors and shop a little bit.
Did you get a lot where you live?
You did. Yeah, I'm in the West Loop, so just west of the city. And we went out and sort of played in it this morning a little bit. My little girl loves it, of course. And but it was a snow day for her and many others I know with a lot of schools.
Really?
Not
wow.
in session. And it's her birthday, too. So it felt like, you know,
oh
it's a little
gosh.
Extra special sort of a fun
Best
day.
Birthday ever.
Totally. No
snow
school.
Day. Wow.
So that worked out. But yeah, we'll be talking about Cyber Monday. And it's on track to be the largest single shopping day online in U.S. history. So people are spending a lot of dough here. And I wonder how this storm impacts the money spent because people are indoors. So
this is actually a good thing, in other words.
I would think so. Yeah. I would think so. We're going to break down some of the numbers. But also, we'll talk the Bears won. But not only did the Bears win, the Packers lost. And so it's great. Great week ahead for Bears fans as we our Bears insider Adam Hogue also tweeted something out last night that I thought about. He's like, okay, so you cross the Packers off the list of the NFC North contenders, and now you're down to the Bears and the Vikings, and the Vikings go to New England next week. So
wait, so are the Packers out? Like, can the Packers still be in the playoffs?
Kevin, you just confirm
it for me.
I think
about 10% right now.
He said, cross it off your list. So I felt like that felt good to me.
Yeah, 10% shot Green Bay.
In other words, they're out.
Speaking of Adam Hogue, he did predict before the season the Packers would miss the postseason for their second straight year and Mike McCarthy would get fired. And that's really kind of been a lot of the chatter today in the sports world is, when will the Packers fire Mike McCarthy? Because, wow, you have Aaron Rodgers and you're probably going to miss the playoff 2 years in a row.
Yes, it's quite a prediction at the beginning of the season, too, for that. So
good for him.
Yeah.
We have Tom Skilling because he's going to tell us about what we just saw and what's ahead as well. And, of course, we got to talk about the Mars landing. You saw all the scientists celebrating.
Boom.
So a lot ahead. Thank you, John.
Have a good show.